We're going to begin our program today by talking with someone who has kind of beat the odds in publishing. Karen McQuestion of Heartland, Wisconsin, is an essayist and author of four novels and a children's book. And one of her novels, A Scattered Life, was originally self-published as an ebook for Amazon Kindle. She failed to crack the world of traditional publishing and decided to self-publish her books on Kindle. And in less than a year, her books have become bestsellers on Kindle, and her debut novel, A Scattered Life, which we'll be talking about today, and I finished reading it a couple of weeks ago, frankly, and I really enjoyed it. A Scattered Life has even been optioned for a film. That's a great story in and of itself, but I think you'll enjoy the story that she put together for her book, A Scattered Life, as well. We're visiting with her by phone today. And certainly, if you'd like to join in with a question or comment, and I guess we can talk about publishing today, certainly if you've read her book, I hope you'll join us with a comment. Or if you have questions about writing, I hope you'll join us as well. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. We'd love to hear from you. Karen McQuestion, welcome.
Well, thank you, Larry. Thanks for having me.
I really enjoyed your book.
Oh, thank you. I'm so thrilled that you read it and you liked it, and that's wonderful.
Well, you've got it almost, it almost like living a dream, isn't it, for you?
You know what? My husband and I say that all the time. This past year, I went from having these novels that I couldn't get published to having a whole string of wonderful things happen. It's unreal is the right word.
Tell us this, give us this story before we talk about A Scattered Life. Tell us the story of your journey here this last year or so.
Oh, sure. I'd be happy to. I've been a freelance writer for a number of years, and I've always been writing novels and always been trying to get them published for the last 8 or 10 years, and have had close calls. One was a finalist in a contest. A couple times I had agent representation, and the agents sent it to editors who liked the books but couldn't get the marketing department on board. I got rave rejections, I call them. They're just like, oh, this was great and that was great, but, you know, whatever. They didn't have a great marketing hook, or, you know, this is too similar to something we just published. I had all these close calls, but ultimately just heartache. And I had been doing this for so many years and really kept the faith pretty well, but was getting very discouraged. And then spring of 2009, I read an article about a man who had a similar journey, who had also had been unsuccessful in getting novels published and had an agent, and he had decided to upload his manuscripts so they would be available as ebooks on Amazon's Kindle, and had great success, this other author, sold 7,000 copies and ultimately signed with Simon & Schuster. And something clicked in my brain when I read this. I didn't even know you could do this. I had no idea that you could take something that was unpublished and make it available. And secondly, I knew nothing about ebooks. I had never seen a Kindle, or this was before the iPad, or a Nook or a Sony Reader. I had very little knowledge about it, and yet something kind of resonated with me, and I thought, I'm going to try this. And that's exactly what I did.
Was it difficult to put it up?
You know, I always say it's easy to put it up, but it's hard to put it up and have it come out well. We struggled to get the formatting correctly, to come out correct. My husband has a background in computer science, so there is some conversion of HTML involved. We had to create a cover, which I had help from my daughter. Those teenagers come in really handy. So there's some technical stuff involved, and yet it's not impossible. Mr. Google was always ready to help out, and we just played around with it until we got things the way I wanted them. I wanted it to look as close to a professionally done book as possible. And you can preview it even if on your computer screen when you're a writer such as myself uploading a book. So I would preview it and say, no, the chapter headings aren't centered. And then we'd go back and figure out how to do that. So it was kind of a process. But within a weekend, I had it all loaded. I had the book up and the cover and the description. I set the price. And then I didn't really tell too many people because I thought, what if this thing goes nowhere? I was just, how embarrassing would that be? So I just kind of waited. And I got the first sale. I was just floored because, you know, I was like, who is buying this? I mean, I'm nobody. And then the sales started trickling in, and it just started to surpass my expectations. You know, it was wonderful.
And so there wasn't a lot of marketing involved on your side of things.
Yeah, not initially. The marketing that went into it was sort of like what I call the behind-the-scenes marketing. For instance, the very first book that I uploaded was a romantic comedy. So Amazon lets you designate keywords that are for the searches. So when readers go and look for a certain type of book, if they put in the word romantic comedy for a Kindle book, mine would be one of the ones that would come up. And so that's really how people were finding it initially. And they would see, you know, the cover and the title, and they would click on it. And if it sounded interesting, with the e-books, you can download a sample, which is a pretty lengthy sample, 2 to 3 chapters, I'd say.
Oh.
And if you like it, then you can buy it. You know, so that's sort of what happened, is people were pretty open to trying new authors, I think, because this was a new gadget, and it's always fun to, you know, try new things. And people that have e-books devices are usually big readers, big readers.
Yeah.
So that was in my favor as well.
Oh, it's a great story. And then, of course, The Scattered Life, when you put it, you put it up when? You put it up?
Well, that was actually the third of the 6 books I put up, and I initially wasn't going to put it up at all. It was the first book I had written, and, you know, I had rewritten it several times and had many close calls, and I just sort of associated it with heartbreak, and I didn't even want to revisit it. And it was, you know, they always say, listen to your mom. It was my mom who said, are you going to put A Scattered Life up? And I said, I don't think so. And she would bring it up periodically. You know, I really think you should. I still remember the scene where, and she could remember things from years before. And so I kind of reluctantly took a look at it again. And it was really enjoyed reading it as somebody who hadn't looked at it in a while. It was fresh to me. And I could see where it needed some revising. And so I spent 2 or 3 weeks reworking it. And then I re-uploaded it, in October of 2009.
And it took off.
Oh, right away. Right away it started outselling the first two. I started getting emails within a week or two from people saying they really enjoyed it, they laughed, they cried, they knew someone like this character, or they were from the Midwest, or they had visited the Midwest, and I had, you know, things really resonated with them. And I was really surprised. This is what they call a quiet novel. It's sort of quirky characters like Garrison Keillor, but it's also got kind of a touching sad part, but a really hopeful ending. And I just, New York just didn't really know what to do with it, New York Publishing.
Yeah.
But the everyday sort of reader seems to really like it. And it really took off, and then shortly thereafter, that movie option, I was contacted by the producer. So it was every day, it was just one thing after another. It was just wonderful.
It was. And, you know, let me be honest with you here for a minute. When I first read your story, I thought, well, I want to get her on. I want to get Karen on because I love the story of getting this book published. And the book in my mind was sort of a secondary thing.
Mm-hmm.
But then I read the book, and I really liked the book.
Oh, thank you.
I mean, it was a real pleasure to read, and I'm not sure that I was the audience you had in mind.
I don't know that you are my target audience, but anybody who wants to be my audience. Great with me.
Oh, boy. Well, I want to give our listeners a chance to join in here. We haven't even talked about A Scattered Life yet. It's just in sort of in general terms, but not more specifics. But it is a fun, a great read. Join in with your questions and comments. If you'd like to ask Karen a question about the book or about the publishing, I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234 or email at talk@WPR.org. Let's turn to Leah in Green Bay. Leah, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I have a question. I'm a memoirist, and some of my clients just keep the books for themselves and their families, but a few of them actually want to sell them to the public. And I wondered how your guest chose between Kindle and something like iUniverse, which is also self-publishing, but they print books as opposed to putting them on a Kindle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Leah, I think your question is why I opted for Kindle rather than traditionally paperbacks.
Yeah.
Self-published.
Right.
Initially, my thought was that if I had paperbacks, I would have to become the salesperson trying to get people to buy my paperbacks. So to have to try to get them into stores or encourage people I knew to buy them. And I don't have a sales personality, although I'm getting to be more outgoing all the time. But but I liked the idea of it all being online and that I could do my marketing online, that I could you know, use my blog and use Twitter and go on the message boards and not have to kind of venture out there and make people feel uncomfortable. Now, having said that, I did self-publish the children's book in paperback, and I used CreateSpace, which is Amazon's self-publishing division, and I have really enjoyed having the physical book, and I did go out to bookstores, and people were receptive and nice, and all the things I feared didn't come to pass. So I think if I had to do it over again, I'd be more open to doing it in paperback. But that was my thoughts initially.
You could actually do it both, right?
Exactly, yes, you can do both.
And Kindle, right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And many, many people do. I just didn't.
I'm about to try CreateSpace, but I just was interested in how you came to your decision. That's really helpful. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And Doug in Oshkosh, let's turn to you. Hi, Doug.
Morning, Larry. And your guest. I have two questions, actually. Number one, how many revisions did she make before she actually felt the book was the book she wrote, actually, all of them were satisfactory? I'm trying a little writing myself. I find myself very frustrated, to tell you the truth, and why she chose Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Revisions. A million. I was constantly tweaking, you know, as I went, but big revisions, I'd say 2 to 3. I actually rewrote the book from a different point of view and then went back to what I had originally done. And I did wind up taking out a lot of backstory, which as a writer you would appreciate that, that we do get bogged down in that if it doesn't move the story forward. I think readers get impatient. So I would say probably 3 revisions. And
but then constant tweaks.
And constant tweaks, yeah. I'm kind of almost, you know, obsessive about that, which is good and bad. But so I was always kind of working on it, and I did have a group of really wonderful writer friends who would give me feedback, which was really helpful, too. And then the second question, why I went with Amazon?
Mm-hmm.
Was
yep.
that it? Amazon was what I knew. That's what I read the article about, and I was following the path of this other writer. Since then, I've discovered that, you know, you can distribute your manuscript or your book on so that it's available for on all the devices, the Sony Reader, the Nook, the iPad, and you can do it through something called Smashwords, which is an ebook distributor. They distribute it for you and take a small percentage with every sale. And I don't know too much about that. I just never, if it was around when I was starting out, I wasn't aware of it. Like I said, if I was doing it now, I might do it differently.
Oh. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Karen McQuestion, our guest today, she's from Heartland, Wisconsin. And as a matter of fact, her book, A Scattered Life, is centered in Wisconsin, which makes it kind of fun as well for me and probably for you, too. As you listen to the show, I hope you'll join in with your questions for her, either about publishing or about the book. And we'll talk some more about the book, too, as we move along here. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking today with Karen McQuestion about her book, A Scattered Life. Again, you can join us at 800-642-1234 with your questions or comments. And let's turn to John in Kenosha next. John, hi. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you, Larry. And first, I'd like to congratulate your author. It's clear that this electronic and e-book opportunity is a wave of the future. So good for her for being able to take advantage of it. Larry, the question I had was really to you, and that is, if you'd allow me to, I would like to tell your listeners about a two-day conference for writers, for teachers and librarians that Carthage College is sponsoring the 1st and 2nd of October. It is called The Business of Children's Publishing. And in addition to an author and an illustrator, we are featuring a publisher, an agent, a marketing manager, an art director, and a bookseller. People are welcome to call 262-552-5480 for further information.
Excellent. It's 262-552-5480 for more information. Sounds like a good conference, doesn't it, Karen?
Oh, it absolutely does.
Did you have a lot of experience yourself with working with other writers or in workshops or sessions, maybe something like John was just talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. I signed up for workshops, conferences, classes, socials where I would meet other writers. Writing is solitary, but it's really great to share work with other writers and get ideas and kind of continuously educate yourself on story, the ways of storytelling, and I just thrived on that.
So Carthage College hosting it October 1st and 2nd, and the number 262-552-5480. And I'm sure if you go to the Carthage College website, you will find out some more about that conference. Thanks again, John. Appreciate it. Laura in Madison, we'll go to you next. Laura, hi.
Hi, Larry. Karen, this is Laura Schaefer. I'm so thrilled to see you.
Hello. We know each other in the real world.
Karen and I actually met at a writer's conference last year, and I had the pleasure of blurbing her self-published children's book, which was wonderful. So I was just so excited to hear her voice this morning. I'm driving in my car to Milwaukee. And I just want to say again, congratulations. This is just so fantastic, and I was wondering what you're working on now.
Oh, well, thank you, Laura. Right now I'm working on another adult novel, and I'm just a few chapters in, so I'm still trying to figure my way through it. It's got a friendship theme, and I think there's going to be a road trip, but I'm not quite sure yet. So, yeah, it's really fun to see where it takes you.
Thanks, Laura.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And let's go to Carol in from Nashville, driving through. Hi, Carol.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Great, thank you.
Good. Wanted to say congratulations to Miss Karen on her publishing. I think it's wonderful.
Oh,
love
thank you.
Stuff happening. Yes, and I'm an aspiring writer. Might turn out to be expiring writer if I keep on going this route, but we'll see how it goes. I'm doing this travel here, doing this journey, just traveling cross country. I've sold everything, and I've taken off with a small but vigorous Akita. And you can hear my GPS in the background there telling me where to go. It always is. I was curious in your publishing experiences, Karen, if you had any, I don't want to say fears, it's too strong a word, but concerns perhaps about copywriting, about people taking information or chapters or words from your books when you just put it up on Kindle. How do they secure them with that sort of a facility?
Oh, that's a really great question. About copywriting your work, I never officially filed a copyright, but it's my understanding, and I'm not the expert on this, that if somebody would question it or say that, you know, your work originated elsewhere, that the fact that it's been on your hard drive and it's dated, I think most everybody uses a computer, Microsoft Word, or some program like that, that you could prove that the date that it was first written was prior to what somebody else came up with. So I was never really worried about it, and also I'd been submitting work to agents and editors for eons, and so I have a whole, you know, file folder full of rejections to show them, you know. So, no, that was not a huge concern of mine.
All right.
That's good to hear. I really appreciate your advice. Thank you so much, dear, and hopefully I'll be out there with you sometime soon.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks, Carol. Thanks for calling. If you'd like to join in, by the way, we have open lines finally, and we'll get you on pretty quickly at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. Let's talk about A Scattered Life a bit. It's kind of a bittersweet story in some ways about three very different women.
Yeah, bittersweet is the right word, and I don't want to make it sound too pedestrian or sad, because it really isn't.
No,
it's a story about family and quirky characters, and it's got some heartwarming parts, but it's also a friendship triangle, and you know it never works out with three, or it does sometimes, but in this case it didn't. And it's also got an intrusive mother-in-law, which people seem to always, if they don't have an intrusive mother-in-law, they at least know someone like that character. Yeah. And so that's come up quite a bit when I talked to different groups about the book.
I really enjoyed the progress of the book and how it ended. I really loved how it ended. I thought that was a great way to end the book. But the main person in the book, for me anyway, was Skyla Plinka.
I think of her as being the main character. She's the young wife who marries into this very staid, conservative Wisconsin family. But that's not her background at all. She's kind of a free spirit. She's moved around the country a lot, and she's been sort of rootless. So she's very attracted to the stability of this family, and yet it's so alien for her, the ways that they do things. They're very locked into how they do things.
And there are a lot of very light moments in the book, too. I tell you, especially, I think, with her friendship with her neighbor, Roxanne Bear, mother of five boys, and her life is in pretty much constant disarray.
Yeah, and I think that we all know someone like that who's just, you know, Roxanne is just this wonderful, giving, caring person who adores her kids, but she kind of sort of thrives on chaos. She's less concerned with order than living life and, nurturing her kids and doing what she wants to do. So, her house is a mess, and there's stuff that you drive past her house, and there's stuff on the roof, and she's not someone whose house you'd want to have, but maybe she'd be someone you'd want to be friends with.
Yeah. Let's turn to Jeremy in Monroe next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry, thanks. I just kind of want to ask Karen, at what point during her sales did she realize that she was actually like going to the next level in her authoring?
Hmm. Oh, okay, that's a great question. I don't know if there was one point, but I remember the first month we my husband and I put two books up, and I made $30. And I remember up till this point, I had made in 8 or 9 years 0 cents from my fiction writing. I had been selling my nonfiction writing, and I remember saying to my husband Greg, "Oh, this is great! If we could go to Applebee's once a month, and people are reading my books, I mean, I thought, okay, let's see if we can up this a little bit." And then the next month, it was $300. And then my husband turned to me and said, "How many more of these books do you have?" You know, so instead of having a hard drive filled with failed novels, suddenly it's like, well, this might have some value. People might want to be reading your books. And so I'd say every minute after that moment was when I realized then I'd be like, okay, well, this is equivalent to, whatever. Or if I sold 200 that month, I would try to figure out what 200 people would look like. Well, that would be inside this, you know, small auditorium near my house. That many people bought my book this month. It was just really wild. After having them turned down for so long, it was even sort of hard to fathom success after, you know, the constant rejection. So I've been really smiling for about a year and a half now.
Thanks, Jeremy. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Oh, boy. And then to be contacted by a producer.
Yeah, that was another wonderful thing. A Scattered Life had been out for about 4 or 5 weeks and selling really well, and I had gotten some nice emails and nice reviews, and people were talking about it on the message board. And one afternoon, I got this email from a producer who said, I'm interested in the information for the person, the contact information for the person handling the movie rights for Scattered Life, which, you know, it seemed, you know, obviously no one told him it was just me in my basement typing, that there, you know, there was no one representing the movie rights for the book. And I checked it out, and it was indeed a legitimate production company.
Mm-hmm.
And we went back and forth, and I knew nothing about this, so I had to become very educated very quickly. A friend of a friend of a friend knew someone who knew something about this, and it was one of those things where I really scrambled, and I signed December of last year. He optioned the film.
Oh, boy.
And the rights for the film, and he is trying to get studio interest. And so I'm keeping my fingers crossed. It would be wonderful.
Oh, and I think it could be a great film as well.
Yeah, I think it could be. He compared it to something like Little Miss Sunshine, which is very character-based,
yeah.
As opposed to, you know, nothing paranormal or no, they don't need any special effects. So, and I can see that. I thought, yeah, I can see that. So we'll see. I'm hopeful.
Have you thought of actresses who might take on those roles?
You know, I'm almost afraid to mentally cast it. At this point, I'm just so thrilled to be in the game. Whoever they pick is fine. You know, I've gone back and forth on that. I thought, well, you know, it'd be great to have Meryl Streep as the mother-in-law. Or, I mean, you know, and then I think, well, you know what? Let's not be so particular. I'm sure anyone would do a fine job.
Oh, boy. Let's go to Lori in Oshkosh next. Hi, Lori.
Hi. Yes, I'd like to ask the author if there was any consideration or if it's in the hopper for audio, an audio version that can be downloaded from iTunes. I'm not quite ready to commit to a Kindle, but for myself and my daughter and my mother who love audiobooks, is that something that's coming up soon?
Oh, okay. The question was about the audio rights for the book of Scattered Life. It is actually, Scattered Life is now in paperback, and it has been for a couple weeks. It's doing really well. But as far as I know, it's there aren't any immediate plans for it to be available as an audio book. If you own a Kindle, you can listen to it. They have a text-to-speech function. But if that's not the case, then it would either be paperback, I guess, would be your option.
And its paperback is Amazon Encore.
Yes, Amazon, of course, is the publisher, but you can get it through any bookstore. If they don't carry it, they can order it through their usual distributor. And, you know, and if you want to order it through Amazon, of course, that's fine, too. BarnesandNoble.com has it also.
Wonderful.
And you know, Lori, as I think you mentioned yourself and your mother and your daughter, and frankly, I think all three of those generations would find a lot in this book. Well, don't you think, Karen?
Yeah, I think it's sort of got some universal things, and there's nothing hugely objectionable if you're, I don't know how old your daughter is. It's just really a very down-to-earth, fun book.
Well, I think for all of us, I mean, she's 27, my mom's 63. And
oh, okay.
Kind of, the characters and the storyline just really resonate. So thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And again, you can join in. We'll get you on pretty quickly at 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us again at talk@wpr.org. So maybe talk a little more about the book itself. The setting is Wisconsin. We have Skyla Plinka. You talked about her, who's led a life of travel around the well, travel isn't the right word, is it?
Kind of a nomadic upbringing.
Nomadic upbringing is a lot better. And now she's with in a plunk down here in Wisconsin.
Plunk down. Yep.
So from there, talk a little bit more about what readers are going to find when they open your book.
Oh, sure. Well, she becomes friends with the neighbor Roxanne, and the mother-in-law character is disapproving. But it's always sort of a tension, push me, pull you. There's never a big blowout. And then Skyla gets a job in a local bookstore. And there's a psychic who works there who plays a part in the story, which I won't get into details and give anything away. But something that she says sets off a whole chain of events, and it's interesting to me that both Roxanne and Skyla and Audrey, all three of them, have kind of this element of wanting to be part of something. And in the case of Skyla and Roxanne, they both sort of feel like outsiders in their own family to a certain extent. And they both, you know, they want to be part of things, which I think a lot of us, that's how it is in life. You kind of feel like if only that person would include you more, especially with women, I think. Sometimes there's that.
Yeah, and I probably... More well, I was going to say probably more likely you wrote this book with other women in mind as readers.
Yes, that I would say it's a women's fiction. Although I have had men read it and say they enjoyed it. So you know, I'm always surprised. And younger people, I had a woman say that it was nice to have a story that she could let her daughter, who was 12 or 13, read, and that they could discuss it. But it wasn't, you know, a teen novel. So that was kind of a neat thing to hear.
Kevin in Madison, let's turn to you now. Hi, Kevin. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Sure. What's on your mind?
I was wondering if the author could talk about maybe this self-publishing becoming more of a model of the future, taking more on of the market share, or at the very least catching major publishers onto these more underground writers who have a lot to offer that is not generally what is sought after by these bigger firms.
Oh, great. Yeah, I have a lot of opinions about that, but I'll just I'll kind of streamline it. I don't think we have all day. I think that at one point they were getting this sort of influx of material, manuscripts, and they would have to kind of filter it down and kind of make advanced decisions about what readers would like before they put the money and time into publishing it. And that's been sort of the modus operandi for a long time. And now that self-publishing is becoming more prevalent in e-books and it's becoming less stigmatized, what happens is you're taking that middleman out and letting the readers decide. So people are uploading their books to Kindle, and if they like them, they're recommending them to other people, and things are just snowballing. And then you get agents and editors going, oh, look, this self-published book is doing really well and getting great reviews. Maybe I'll take a look at it. So the system, the self-publishing system, is now doing the screening and the filtering. And in my case, one of the things the editor from Amazon did when he called me was he said, you know, we're really excited to work with you. Not only do we love the book, but you seem media savvy. And, you know, he sort of indicated, you know, if this woman in Wisconsin in her basement can generate this many sales, imagine what she could do having a publishing house behind her. So I see this as really being kind of things, the tide is turning, and this is going to be the future.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Has this success changed how you approach your writing? Are you in the basement yet? Or
I'm talking to you from my basement, but that's where my computer is. You know what? What it's done is, when I first started writing, and you know, people that write novels or fiction will say this is, it's such a joyful creative process. You're in charge of this fictional world, and I loved writing, and by the end. By the time I had self-published on Kindle, spring, summer 2009, it had really sucked the joy out of it. I really felt like I love writing, but if no one's ever going to read it, really, what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
And now, when I'm the novel that I'm working on now, I feel like I hope that Amazon Encore publishes it. I would certainly love to work with them indefinitely, but if they don't, I'll still self-publish it on Kindle and let the market decide. You know, Hopefully readers will like it, but I don't feel like that barrier is there anymore, and it makes the writing so much more fun.
Oh, yeah, it has to make, and and the sales make it a lot more fun, too.
Yes, absolutely. We've been really pleased.
Well, I tell you, it's been a real pleasure. Any other you've given so much great information to authors. Any other tips that you might have for authors out there?
Authors that want to self-publish or just in general?
Just in general.
Just in general. Well, I would say that the very first thing I would stress, and I think most writers know this, but it bears repeating, is just make sure the writing's solid. Connect with other writers, critique groups, writers groups, books about writing. If you get to be a good self-editor, it makes anything you do that much better. And then as far as self-publishing goes, be really open. Find out what other people are doing, because that's what I did. Find out what other people are doing, and then that gives you, not that you necessarily have to copy them every step of the way, but that's a good jumping off point. And it will help you.
Oh, it's bound to. How many pages a day do you typically write? How long does it take you to turn out a book?
Not very many, 2 to 4 of fiction. When I'm writing nonfiction, I can do, many, many. But within a year, I could have a novel. And then, of course, you rework it. But that's really something. And you think if you only do a page a day, at the end of a year, you have that hundreds of pages. So you don't have to have a huge block of time. An hour or two a day, though, I would say minimum.
Hmm. Well, you've certainly convinced me. I really enjoyed A Scattered Life.
Thank you.
It's a wonderful book, Karen, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Thank you, Larry.
Karen McQuestion of Heartland, Wisconsin, essayist, author of 4 novels and a children book. One of her novels, A Scattered Life, originally self-published as an e-book for Amazon's Kindle. It's been re-released, and She also has a movie option. It's just a great story, a great personal story for her, but also she's written a great story. So I hope you'll have a chance to take a look at A Scattered Life. Coming up, we're going to talk with another author. It's a different kind of book, but one I think you'll find interesting, very interesting as well. Kevin Koch has a professor of English, has written a book about the driftless land, America's driftless area, spirit of place in the upper Mississippi Valley. And we'll be talking with him next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.